We continue today in our season of Easter, focusing on these stories of the resurrection and the appearances Jesus makes to the disciples in the time after Jesus is raised from the dead, but before Pentecost. And as we look at these stories, I was compelled to think of what we can learn about the resurrection and the promise that we have of eternal life from Jesus' own story. And the first conclusion I've made based on Luke's gospel text is resurrection makes you hungry. Did you notice that Jesus' first thing he asks for is, do you have anything to eat? I've been in the grave for 3 days. I just got raised from the dead, and I haven't had anything to eat. And they give him broiled fish. Very interesting detail. But apart from that, what we can conclude is that there is something about the resurrection that continues our earthly life. Jesus has flesh and bones. He still has an appetite. So there is something physical about the resurrection. Sometimes people get this idea that we are in the eternal life, just a soul without a body. But our faith and the stories of Scripture, and certainly the story of Jesus, tells us that we will have a resurrected body. But it is a physical body with some non-physical characteristics. Jesus is mistaken for a ghost. In the Gospel of John, Mary comes to the tomb and thinks Jesus is a gardener. There's something about his appearance that, while physical, is also changed. The resurrection and the promise given to us is that we will have continuity with this life, but also transformation. This story of Jesus is very similar to the story we heard last week. Jesus comes to the disciples. They're in a gathering together. He appears and says, "Peace be with you." And again, he shows them his hands, his feet, still bearing those marks of the cross. And yet he's very much alive. He has defeated death, the grave, all the powers of darkness. The power of the resurrection is on full display. And Jesus not only shows them his side, but he says he opens to them the Scriptures so that they might understand what God is up to. I'd imagine that this opening up of the Scriptures is perhaps the best Bible study ever. All the things that they may have questions about, the doubts that they may have had, are answered. Jesus says, "Here it is." And they begin to understand. Now, you would think that after being witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and after getting the best Bible study ever, that the disciples would be ready to go, that Jesus would then send them out. But if you notice at the end of this passage in the gospel, Jesus' first command to the disciples isn't to go. He says, "Stay here and wait for a sign, for you will be clothed with power." There's a 50-day interval between Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost. Now, I've always felt, and we'll get to Pentecost in a couple of weeks, but I've always felt that God's timing is perfect. And so God's going to wait until all of the people come back for the festival of Pentecost. But also, in the interim, for 50 days, the disciples who witnessed Jesus' resurrection, the disciples who got to place their hands in his in his marks, who are given the best Bible study ever, they wait, but not passively. What were they doing for those 50 days? What were they thinking about? What were they talking about? I have to believe that they were talking with each other about what God was up to. They are now fully ready for something big to happen because it's happened before. And as they wait, they prepare. They prepare their hearts. They prepare their lives. And they wait. One of the most faithful things we can do is wait with expectation. This is a virtue that is not appreciated in our culture, waiting. We hate waiting. I hate waiting. I find myself with very little patience at times. Anybody else? What is purgatory? Thank you. I've often understood like purgatory as being like a waiting room at a medical clinic with only really old magazines. We wait and we wait and we're annoyed and we're just tired of it. But Jesus tells the disciples to wait. Wait for a sign. He doesn't say, wait until Pentecost because I'm going to show up again. They don't know how long they get to wait. But they're told to wait and that God's going to do something so powerful that you won't miss it. But they had to wait and look to see what God was going to do and then respond. And so our first reading comes from Acts chapter 3. And as the preamble to the reading suggested, and rightly, is that what happened in the first part of Acts chapter 3 is Peter and the other disciples go to the temple. And they see a crippled beggar on the steps, not allowed to go into the temple. He's there begging. Peter says, I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And the man is healed. The disciples have been waiting for God to show up, and God does, giving them the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter, for the first time, does what Jesus does. He heals the man, restores his ability to walk. Now, when everyone saw this, you would think they'd go, well, hallelujah. This man that we are used to seeing on the steps of the temple who couldn't walk now can. Isn't that great? That's not what happened. They arrest Peter. He's arrested just as Jesus was. He's put on trial. And his defense is what we heard. That through the power of the name of Jesus, just by invoking the name of Jesus, Peter has the power to heal this man. The power of the resurrection. The power of Easter spoken in Jesus' name allows this man to walk. Peter says, I didn't do it. Christ worked through me. And through that, the witness of Christ is in for all to see. Now you can continue on and read chapter 3 and chapter 4. But suffice to say, Peter beats the rap, as they say, because the power of God was on full display. We have the same power of Easter Through baptism, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Sometimes God calls us to wait until the right time. But make no mistake, we have the power to bring healing and wholeness into the world, just like Peter. Now, that may not take the form of a miracle, although I think everyday miracles happen and we sometimes miss it. But when we can bring love and compassion, acts of mercy and kindness, we can be God's very hands and feet. Sometimes we have to wait for the right time, overcoming our impatience, our insistence to go our own way. And yet at the right time, in the right place, God shows up and can use you to be a blessing. The power of the resurrection shows us that death is not the end of our story, and that in this life, we can bring hope and wholeness into the world. So let us wait with hope and expectation, faith, and let us share God's love as we go. Amen.